Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from Annie, smiley face.
Hey Ben and Nathan, I took your advice to wait a year and apply for next cycle so that I can give myself the best chance for admissions and scholarships. Love that.
Okay.
No wonder she's smiling. That's a good decision.
Yep.
With the 2023 application cycle approaching quickly, I was wondering if you had a checklist of items you recommend that we should have ready to go before applications open. For example, the best LSAT score we can get, transcripts, resume, personal statement, etc. Anything you guys could think of in addition to these things would be helpful for first-time applicants. Exclamation point. Thank you, Annie. Smiley face.
Okay. The only concern I have about talking about this list is I fear that the items 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 can become excuses to not focus on item number one.
Well, although LSAT's not even number one, right?
GPA. So yeah. Items 1 and 2.
Yep. So, right. We should do this, actually, or maybe our team, if you're listening. Make us a little graphic where 1 and 2 are like gigantic. You can make a checklist.
You can't even like read.
3, 4, 5, 6. They're like down on the page. They're like microscopic font. But 1 and 2, gigantic. The best grades you can get. And that means don't even worry about the LSAT. If you're still an undergrad, you need to be getting straight A's in every class. Mm-hmm. So that's number one on the list. Yep. And what's number two?
Number two is your best LSAT score. And really, the rest of your list needs to be blurry and not legible, right? I don't want you looking at the best LSAT score and then kind of like, oh, well, this is a little difficult, so I'm going to mosey on down here and work on something else, right?
We all do this. But these law schools tell me that they look at applications holistically, and they're telling me about my personal statement and my letters of recommendation, and I need to work on those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they absolutely do not have your best interests in mind.
Yeah. They're just trying to get you to tick off all the boxes. For them, the boxes have equal weight because you have to do all of the boxes. They can't admit you if you don't do all the boxes. All they want, they're not trying to make you a better applicant. They're trying to make you apply. They want your application now. That's all they want. They don't want you to be a more savvy applicant. They want you to be a less savvy applicant. They just want you to be an applicant today. That's what they want.
Yeah.
So they're going to give you bad advice about all this other shit. But here's the fact, Ben. This is the most compelling fact, I think, that we have to offer. Mm. We can predict how much scholarship money you're likely to get based on your LSAT and your GPA and a checkbox for URM status.
Yep.
Now, we can't predict it with perfect accuracy, but we can predict it with increasingly good accuracy.
Yep.
Based on those three tiny little bits of data. Yep. Like, so, and then people always ask me, they're like, but my master's, I wrote a paper with this. I've got a letter of recommendation from a set, blah, blah.
I have really good softs.
Just all those things that are all fall under the larger umbrella of softs. But my work experience, blah. And it's like, okay, let me repeat myself. I can predict your scholarships to law school, not just whether you're going to get in. Mm-hmm. I can predict how much money they're going to offer you.
Yep.
Based on your LSAT, your GPA, and whether you're URM or not. Yep. URM is a small factor, but LSAT and GPA. Yep. I can predict whether they're going to offer you money based on your LSAT and your GPA. But my soft, it's like, everybody wants to go back to these issues. And it's like, okay, but I don't know. They're just, why are people so resistant to facts?
Yeah.
Now, again, it ain't perfect, but it's a damn good tool. Go to lsatdemon.com/scholarships if you want to see the tool that I'm talking about.
Yeah, and once you have those two things, I want you to get these other ducks in a row. I want you to get your transcripts. I want you to get your resume. I want you to work on your personal statement more than 2 days. I want you to get your letters of recommendation. You need to get these things to apply. I want you to decide on which schools you are going to apply to. The problem about talking about these things is not that they're not good. It's that I don't want them to compete with what is absolutely essential and the most important.
Yeah. The only two that are going to take, well, there's three that might take significant time, but there's two of these elements that are out of your control.
Yep.
Getting the transcripts submitted through from your undergraduate schools, schools plural, if there were more than one.
Yep.
That you need to get, that's going to be out of your control. So you need to submit those requests and make sure that those transcripts are getting uploaded to LSAC.
Yeah.
The other one, even more time consuming, is letters of recommendation. Those requests can just sit in your recommender's inbox for months and they could do nothing with them. So you should send off those requests for LORs sooner rather than later. And then you might have to do some ass kissing and some follow up and, you know, maybe submit, maybe ask four people, even though you only need two letters, just to make sure that that process is moving along.
Mm-hmm.
But those are things to do when you're either already done with your undergrad and done with your LSAT, or late at night, you're too tired to do the LSAT, your eyes are burning, but you want to do something productive.
Yeah.
And you know you can't give it your best on your schoolwork or on your LSAT. Okay, submit those letters of recommendation requests. Submit those transcript requests.
Sure.
The only other one that really should take any time, because it's not like addenda and all these other essays and stuff. I mean, that's just like so far down the power ranking of things that actually matter to law school admissions. Your personal statement is the thing that, you know, if they really are on the bubble about you, which you're not going to be on the bubble if you don't have the right LSAT and GPA, or if you have a good enough LSAT and GPA, you're also not on the bubble.
You're well above it. Yeah.
Because you're just, they're thinking about how much scholarship money they're going to offer you. But the personal statement is how they differentiate, you know, like from like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That said, you know, Ben says he wants you to work on it for more than 2 days. Maybe, but I think you could draft it in an hour. I think you could put it away, look at it again 2 days from now, clean up the editing, ask a friend, clean up the editing again, keep cutting, write it longer and cut and cut and cut and cut, cut it down. But this is not an arduous writing assignment. Ultimately it's a page and a half about the thing you know more about than anyone on the planet, which is you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not that hard to write your personal statement. Write a shitty first draft, maybe write a couple different shitty first drafts, put it away, come back and edit it. Just make sure it's clean. It isn't the type of thing that you should waste significant chunks of your life on. As evidenced from the fact that law schools and even law school admissions consultants just, they seem to advocate writing a bunch of bullshit in your personal statement.
Mm-hmm.
Ben doesn't have anything to offer. He's just waiting for me to shut up.
It's just, I do think people struggle with their writing.
They do.
Spend more time on it. But this is all assuming that these other things are in place. I keep thinking about like trying to put together a team, right? Like you're trying to put together a basketball team or a football team, and some kid comes to you and they clearly have game, right? Like they can play,
yep.
But they didn't submit their application correctly. You're like, you know what? That's okay. We're gonna get other people to get that all sorted out so you can play on my team, right? But if you don't have game, then it's like, I don't care that you showed up on time to the first practice and you're smiling and you've got your all your forms submitted. It's like, yeah, but you can't play. So your LSAT score is your indication that you can play this game called law school and lawyering.
Yeah.
And your GPA, your UGPA, your undergraduate GPA. Those two things together show that you have game, and everything else can be cobbled together, but those can't be cobbled together.
No, we need to do this. Team, if you're listening to me, your boss is asking you to do this. Make a law school application checklist where there's two giant boxes at the top and then like super tiny font with all the other things that you need to do. Because it really is. I mean, law schools won't, they're not gonna be honest about this. They hate the idea that you're just a number to them. You know, they're gonna give you all manner of bullshit about how they look at applications holistically and on and on and on. But the scoreboard says otherwise. The American Bar Association 509 data says otherwise. Every law school has very narrow ranges of LSAT and GPA. And yeah, sure, there's exceptions, but you don't want to be a barely squeak in exception who has to pay full price. You want to be the one who's there on a scholarship. And that's going to be your LSAT and your GPA that are going to get you that scholarship. So thank you, Annie, for writing in. All those other things are necessary, but they're just not, whatever. Those are just like ticking off a bunch of boxes.
Yep. Anyways, email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.